Ducairne's expression stiffened. The Grand Inquisitor's anger had continued fermenting into fury, and the totally unexpected defiance Dennis had shown, even in the face of his agonizing death, had goaded Clinton's always irascible temper into a white-hot blaze. Worse than that, in some ways, Dennis's final statement, interrupted though it had been, had called the group of four's motivations into question. No one outside the Council of Vicars, at least, was prepared to say so openly. But the fact that Carus's own archbishop had been prepared to indict not Carus, but the church from the very lip of unspeakable torment and death had struck a totally unexpected blow against the group of four's authority. Indeed, much as Ducairne hated to admit it, it had struck a blow against the authority of Mother Church herself.
And it's also undermined Zumpson's strategy for differentiating between the Church and the Knights of the Temple Lands, he thought. Dennis didn't charge the Knights with attacking Carus. He charged us, the four of us, and even Mother Church herself. And if anyone believed him when he proclaimed Carus's innocence before we attacked her, it's also undermined the argument that this is all the result of some long-standing heretical Carisian plot which has simply strayed into the open at last.
I have the authority to order it on the basis of the Inquisition's overriding authority to combat heresy and apostasy anywhere it emerges, Clinton continued.
And since when has any Grand Inquisitor ever had that authority? Ducairne wondered. Within the Church, yes, and the power to summon the secular lords to support Mother Church against heresy in their own lands. But to arbitrarily order them to close their ports to another nation? To dictate the terms on which their subjects are allowed to make the livings needed to feed their own children? No Inquisitor has ever claimed that sort of power. On the other hand, when has any other Grand Inquisitor confronted the threat confronting us?
It would be a direct escalation, Trenaire pointed out. It would take the onus for the present situation off of Carus, to some extent at least, and place it upon Mother Church.
And, Ducairne added, if we do that, it will also increase the pressure on us, on Mother Church, to take powerful military action against Carus, and we're scarcely in a position to do that, I'm afraid.
For the rest of this year, at least, Maguire agreed. Even after we get the ships built, it's going to take time to train crews for them. It's not as if we have the unlimited supply of seamen Carus seems to have.
Who cares if it's an escalation? Clinton demanded. This is a war between God's Church and his enemies, between the light of Langhorn and Shanwei's eternal darkness. Instead of pretending it isn't, it's time we told all of the faithful the truth about Carus's carefully planned and long-prepared rebellion against the rightful authority of God and his stewards here in the world. My agents tell me there are already whispers in the taverns and the streets about Stainer's defiance and that bastard Dennis's so-called deathbed statement. It's time we openly admit the true nature of the struggle, time we openly call for all of the faithful to join in holy battle against that nest of Shanwei. Better to open the wound to the cleansing air and drain the poisons of doubt before they lead still more into the paths of corruption.
Trenaire's thoughtful frown deepened, and so did Ducairne's. As much as he continued to fear and distrust the consequences of Clinton's temper, there was much to what he just said. The Carisians, at least, had never tried to pretend they hadn't defied Mother Church's authority. In fact, they'd printed up thousands of copies of the text of Stainer's defiant letter to the Grand Vicar and distributed them in every port city on Safehold. The Inquisition had seized every copy it could find, but Ducairne was positive there were still plenty of them circulating. And the fact that Stainer had couched his defiance in terms of challenging the Church's corruption rather than any doctrinal dispute, aside, of course, from the doctrine of the Grand Vicar's paramount authority, hadn't passed unnoticed.
and coupled with Dennis's statement, it's truly flicked Jaspar on the raw. But the mere fact that there's as much anger as logic driving his reasoning doesn't necessarily make it invalid, and neither does the fact that he's distorting the evidence. Steiner is right about one thing. I may hate admitting it, I do hate admitting it, but the Council of Vicars is corrupt. We're corrupt, and it's long past time we've cleaned our own house. But however right he may be about that, first we have to preserve that house. We can't let someone destroy the unity of Mother Church, which has existed from the very creation, however justified his anger and his calls for reform may be. And if that's true, then we must openly confront the actual nature of the battle we face. And, he admitted unhappily, if that requires us to misrepresent some of the particulars in order to preserve the whole, what choice do we truly have?